Welcome to the Dog Talk Show, brought to you in part by Wellness Pet Food. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And today's a special day for a number of reasons. First of all, Eric is back with us from Iceland and the UK, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Welcome back, Eric.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Now, you look like you got a little bit of sun. That can't be from Iceland, is it?
Well, you'd be surprised. but no, probably in the UK, got a little bit of sun here and there. Mm. Spend a lot of time outside when you're, you know, touring.
Yes.
So I did a lot of outside activity. And, you know, surprisingly, it may actually have been from Iceland, because the last day I was there, I spent like 3 hours in the Blue Lagoon soaking in the, it's a geothermal pool that they've got that's like made of volcanic rock, and it's got like silt and algae and stuff. It's supposed to be really good for the skin and stuff. So spent like 3 hours outside soaking. So, you know, even with cloud cover, you do get sun exposure.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it might be a healthy glow that I'm seeing as well from the healing properties of the...
That's entirely possible. Yeah. How's my coat looking?
It's good. Shiny.
Very good.
Well, did you happen to notice any dogs in Iceland?
I did, yeah. I noticed a few.
Do you happen to know what breeds they were?
I don't. They look like mutts to me.
Yeah. So, well, they could have been Icelandic sheepdogs.
Okay. I didn't actually see any sheepdogs, to tell you the truth.
Well, they look like a little, they're like a mini Spitz. I looked up Icelandic dog breeds.
A lot of things are small in Iceland.
Yes, well.
The population, the trees, the horses.
Well, that's right.
Things grow slowly there.
Yeah. Well, the Icelandic sheepdog is a small to medium-sized Spitz-like dog. They're very cute.
Uh-huh.
They're a herding dog, and it's Iceland's only native dog.
Interesting.
And it was brought to Iceland with the first Viking settlers, and they use them to help them herding, and they're... Mm-hmm. They're little, and they're like little Spitz breeds. They kind of look like, do you know what an American Eskimo looks like?
Dog? American mm-hmm. Eskimo dog? Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Man, they look a little bit like that. They're very cute. If you want to check out about the Icelandic sheepdog, you can just Google Iceland dog or Icelandic sheepdog, and there you go. So maybe they kind of look like they could be mixed breeds, so maybe you saw some of those running around.
It's entirely possible.
It is entirely possible.
Yeah. Well, I did see like a big black dog, and I don't know what kind of dog he was. I got some pictures that I'll have to send you.
Oh, so, all right.
Yeah. He was struggling with his leash. So apparently Icelandic dogs are no smarter than American dogs.
Well, it's nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to be home.
So also... Well, I'll be talking more about this later. It was my birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I got...
So how old are you in dog years?
I don't know. It's a good question. 210.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, getting up there.
Getting up there in the...
Something around there.
Dog years.
Yeah.
I don't even want to compute how old I am in dog years.
Well, I just turned 32. And I got for my thank you. I got for my birthday one of my presents. Darcy got me was my dog Chewy. He's my 12-year-old shepherd mix,
mm-hmm.
as I've been calling him. She got his breed DNA test, where you can actually get your mixed breeds.
Uh-huh.
You can do a cheek swab, or you can do a blood test. This one was a cheek swab.
It's kind of like doing the family tree, you know?
I guess so.
Going back and finding what that ancestry is.
Well, these tests actually take the genes of the dog, and based off of their DNA, they can tell you what the main breeds in the dog are.
Mm-hmm.
So later, I will tell you, Eric, the results were shocking.
Really?
Yes. And I'll talk more about that later. So stay tuned to find out what Chewy, my shepherd mix, really is.
I'm just waiting to see if he's actually part Wookiee.
Might as well be. But I've got some information to get out to people last week and this week. This week is the last week that we're doing this. I'm doing a survey, my own survey, that if you just send me an email at host@dogtalkshow.com, host@dogtalkshow.com, all you have to do is send me an email and write in the subject line, "I'm listening." And if you have any comments or questions or show suggestions, I'd be happy to hear more information from you. But otherwise, just an "I'm listening" in the subject line, host@dogtalkshow.com. Just let me know that you're out there. I'm just doing a little bit of a count on my own, and I would really, really appreciate it if you are listening to just let me know. And to thank you for that, I'm giving away a gift basket to a lucky email address. Your email address will automatically be entered into the drawing. There's a copy of Dogged Pursuit, a book about agility, a really funny book. We had Robert Rohde on, the author, a few months ago. A copy of The Lost Pet Chronicles. That's a signed copy by Kat Albrecht, the founder of Missing Pet Partnership. That's missingpetpartnership.org. $50 in gift vouchers for wellness pet food. Bags of Bitto Love treats, a bag of Arc Naturals C-Mobility joint support jerky, and of course, a Dog Talk Show car sticker. So all of that in the gift basket.
It sounds like a pretty good gift basket.
It is a pretty good gift basket. And all you have to do is just send me an email, host@dogtalkshow.com, and just say that you are listening.
Wonderful.
And I'll give people the rest of the week this week, because I've had some emails coming in even yesterday from my request last week. So thank you for everyone who has let me know that you're out there. And if you are out there listening and you haven't emailed me, please do. And hopefully you will win that fabulous gift basket. So this breed test. Oh, I also got some good questions people had asked me, which I'm going to answer in the second segment. One question was how do you keep your older dog mentally stimulated if they can't move around as well as they used to be able to, which is a great question. And I've actually...
Sudoku.
What's that?
That's like the Japanese number puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not a lot of dogs solving the Sudoku.
No. Maybe in Iceland.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They get lots of fish oil, so I think that's...
Yeah, it is.
It's good. It's brain power food.
Yeah.
So, you know, they even at the breakfast bar, they had that available. You could do shots of fish oil before you had your breakfast, which... I don't know if that's how I want to start the day. I stick with the orange juice.
That's why your hair is so shiny now.
Yes. Yeah. I waited until after breakfast.
Yeah.
Now, but yeah. It's good for you.
That's a way to start the day, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That'll wake you up. Whew. how do you keep your older dog stimulated? And also, this show, we don't have a guest on today. So if you out there have any question whatsoever about your dog, really any question, if I don't know the answer, I could probably tell you who would. So give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Again, that's 425-373-5527. Maybe you have a question about food, or your dog has allergies, or you have a training question, like your dog won't come when called, or leash walking, or a quirky behavior question, or thinking about a certain kind of puppy to get, whatever it may be. Give us a call and I'd love to talk to you. 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And of course, all of our callers will get a bag of Bitto Love treats sent to them to thank you for your call.
Very good. You know, I'm pretty impressed with this this gift basket that you are giving away. I got to say, I stayed at a hotel. We won't name names. Let's just say it rhymes with Western in London. Mm-hmm. And they had like a thing where it said like free gift basket or free fruit basket, right?
Ooh.
And the fruit basket was a saucer with an orange and an apple that was covered in, you know, cellophane. So I wasn't terribly impressed with their basket, but your basket I'm impressed with.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's an interesting gift basket. Yes. And I wish I could do that and not name names about certain pet foods.
Right.
Maybe rhymes with.
Yes.
Who advertise on the front of the bag and actually on the back of the bag, when you look at the ingredients, it's really not true. And I've been talking about that quite a bit recently.
Well, what you see a lot of is a lot of generalizations where it's like, it provides complete nutrition, that sort of thing. You see that a lot. But that could mean anything, because complete nutrition could come underneath a huge pile of stuff you don't want.
Yeah. Well, I had on two weeks ago, Dr. Edward Mosier, a veterinary nutritionist, the first week that you were gone, and we were talking about some pet food ingredients, and it was a very interesting show. Got pretty fired up, Eric.
I bet.
And you can also catch all past shows on the website www.dogtalkshow.com. And we've got a caller, but we're going to take a quick break, and then I can give my undivided attention to Deborah in Seattle, who is going to hold for just a few minutes. We'll be back with the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. For the dog that chases its tail, we'll be busy.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, we'll welcome Sandy back from her Alaskan cruise. Then after Animals in the News, we'll have a special guest in the studio. Kat Albrecht from Missing Pet Partnership joins us. She'll tell us all about the pet detective business, what to do if your animal goes missing, plus learn how you can become a pet detective on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Get your dog to smile with treats good enough for people, but specially made for dogs. Introducing Bitolove, the treat that's made in the U.S. with USDA-inspected meat, without any artificial flavors, colors, or byproducts. It's guaranteed to make them smile. So the next time your four-legged family member comes walking through the doggy door after a hard day of chasing birds and digging holes, put a big smile on their face with some slow-roasted, mouth-watering Bitolove dog treats. And don't forget to stop by Bitolove.com to learn more about our variety of flavors.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we have Deborah in Seattle on line one calling about a question regarding toy aggression. Hi, Deborah.
Hi there.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So what's your question?
Well, I take my dog to Magnuson Park because he loves swimming and he loves chasing balls in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll chase any ball in the water, you know, like if someone throws it for their dog, he'll chase their ball. He'll leave my balls I throw him, he'll leave them out in the water when he sees somebody else throwing a ball in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll, like, if the other dog tries to get his ball, he'll bark at them. And so, I don't know, I just kind of embarrassing.
How old?
He's 2.5.
And what breed?
He's a, I think he's Husky Shepherd. He looks Husky Shepherd.
Okay. And how long have you had him?
For 2 years.
Okay. And you said he's 2.5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And has he been doing this for as long as you've known him, or?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he used to be a little bit more aggressive, and then I started, like, putting him on the ground, you know, like, if he would be really aggressive, I'd throw him on the ground and make him stay there for a little while. And he's a little better, but he's still not really cured.
Mm-hmm. And when you play with him with a ball when it's just you and him, is he really frantic about it, or is he really, like, ball-obsessed even when there's
no... No, not on the land. He just loves playing with them in the water.
Okay. And so if there's other dogs around when you're on land, it's not an issue?
Right.
Only at the waterfront?
Mm-hmm.
And is it at just the Magnuson waterfront, or is it at any waterfront, or have you taken them elsewhere?
What? I go to Merrymore, but there aren't as many people. But yeah, he does the same thing there. There's just not as many people as there are at Magnuson.
Okay.
Throwing balls for their dog.
So he's only ball aggressive when he's in the water.
Well, I mean, if he has a toy on land that he really likes, then he can be aggressive on land. But it has to be a special toy, not just like a tennis ball or something.
Okay. And when he acts aggressive, does he just yell at the other dog, or does he jump and attack?
Well, he in the water, he'll just bark at them really loudly and just overpower them that way, you know, kind of. On land, he sometimes will get in a fight.
Okay. Has he ever caused any damage?
No.
Okay. Well, it's good that he hasn't caused damage. There's a couple things going on. I mean, one, aggression is natural to an extent in dogs. It's how they communicate, you know, back off, or don't take this, or I don't like that, or whatever, you know. So a well-socialized dog will use the appropriate level of correction, which looks like aggression, in order to communicate effectively to the other dog, either stop doing that or back up, or, you know, that kind of thing. So if he's, you know, if he was kind of minding his own business and playing with his toy and another dog, your dog is a male, correct?
Oh, wait. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And another dog came up to him and he just sort of, you know, bark, 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 and, you know, bared his teeth and told the dog to back off. That wouldn't necessarily be, I don't think, inappropriate, because otherwise he would probably get his ball or toy taken away. So that's how they protect their resources. It sounds like when he's at the waterfront, it's like he gets overstimulated.
Maybe that's it.
So, you know, there's all these balls going on, and it's like, you know, this happens in dog parks.
I take him to the park, like, 3 times a week, too, so it's not like I only take him every once in a while.
Yeah. When you take him to the park, is that, you know, when it's a day that he goes to the dog park, is that his exercise for the day?
For that particular day it is. Yeah.
Okay. So something that can help is if you actually take him, if you want to take him to the dog park and take mm-hmm. him swimming, that you actually give him a walk before you even go to the park to help burn off some of that energy. Because dogs, you know, he's a young dog and he's a husky shepherd mix potentially that's, you know, high energy.
Right.
So they've got a lot of energy that they need to burn off, and that can contribute if they're in a high energy environment and they're kind of pent up, that can really contribute to aggression. And that's one of the reasons why dog parks can be really problematic, is that you have a high concentration of dogs who mainly go to dog parks as their main form of exercise for that day. So they're all kind of pent up, and then they all get let loose in this dog park, and they've got all this sort of chaotic energy flying around everywhere, really, really easily turns into aggression and can kind of flare up because they get overstimulated or they can't handle that level of excitement.
Okay.
So around the water, I would try getting him exercise beforehand and see if that helps.
Okay.
And you could also try working with him just one-on-one if you can find water access where there aren't any other dogs around. And just kind of train him and work on having him fetch his ball so that he's not leaving his ball to go get other dogs' balls, or teaching him leave it with other balls, you know, so kind of like putting some structure in place as well. And, you know, if it does get to the point where it is starting to get to be, you know, like dangerous aggression, then I wouldn't take him. I would stop taking him.
Okay.
Because you don't want...
Yeah, he hasn't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
It just embarrasses me that he chases other dogs' balls,
yep.
you know, and whatever.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, that's a challenge with dog parks, is that you get all these dogs together and they don't know each other and all that. But, you know, very important to just really keep an eye on that, and that if it does start to get more intense as he gets older, or if he does have an incident where he bites a dog or something like that, that you be responsible for that and probably not take him. Because there's a lot of people who don't do that. And, you know, you've probably seen it in dog parks where there's really dogs there that shouldn't be there. And
every once in a while.
Yeah. So, So try getting him some exercise beforehand and trying to keep his focus on his ball and working with him on that. And see, it's probably that he's overstimulated. And if it seems like it's bullying, then you could also try maybe practicing with him on a long line so that you throw the ball out and he goes and gets it. And then if he tries to go over to some other dog, you can actually give him a tug on the line and tell him no and bring it back.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Deborah. And we'll send you out. Well, I guess we got your address already. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll send you out some training treats.
Well, that's really nice. Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
So, yeah, dog parks are problematic for a lot of people. It's tough, it's tricky, and especially if you have a little dog, be really, really careful, because some little dogs have gotten killed at dog parks. And it's, you know, it's that thing where people go to dog parks to get their dogs exercise, and so the dogs are entering into the dog park really pent up and kind of, you know,
raring to go,
and that can really easily turn into aggression, especially when they're going into, you know, a very, very stimulating, chaotic environment. And so I know it's sort of the reason why people go to dog parks is so dogs can run and burn off all the steam, but it's good to actually take them for a walk beforehand and get them a little bit calmer so that when they go in, they're not so crazy. They're a little more grounded. If everybody did that, dog parks would probably be a much more enjoyable experience.
Calm experience, yes. Yeah. Makes sense.
You know, it's interesting how many people I've come across over the years who continue to go to dog parks and don't, you know, it's kind of a miserable experience for them. For some people and dogs, they love it. It's a good fit for the for that person's dog, and the dog can handle all the other dogs really well, and they don't have aggression issues and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who don't have that experience, but who still feel like they have to go to dog parks. Like, if I don't take my dog, it's like they're failing their dog if they don't. If they don't go to dog parks, like they're failing their dog in some way or something like that. So you don't have to go to dog parks. If you don't like it and your dog doesn't like it or your dog's getting into trouble or getting mixed up, just don't go.
Or, you know, an idea would be maybe to go when you know that there's going to be nobody else around or, you know,
downtimes.
Very few people. Yeah. Because there's got to be peak and off-peak times, obviously, for dog parks. Mm-hmm. And if you can restrict it to some time when you know it's going to be very mellow, then maybe that's a good way to break into it.
Yeah. And if you have a little dog, I would be real careful. And I would recommend not even going at all, unless there's a small dog area that's sectioned off.
I think you've just got a $1 million idea right there.
Even big dogs, even in play, can cause fatal damage to little dogs. It doesn't take much. So we had another caller who called in and left a question. Denise in Tacoma called about how do you deal with a dog that barks aggressively when people come to the door, even when they know the person. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. I'll answer that question. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
I'm just a walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. It's just me and my dog, catching some sun. We can't go wrong.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beast features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the beast is all about.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Is your pet suffering from allergies, cancer, arthritis, back pain, or digestive upset? The Holistic Animal Clinic treats these problems and more using holistic veterinary medicine and acupuncture to bring your pet to health. Dr. Masami Seplo's treatment supports the body's natural ability to heal itself, are non-invasive and highly effective. If your pet doesn't tolerate medication or nothing you've tried is working, visit theholisticanimalclinic.net or call 206-723-3809 to make an appointment. That's www.holisticanimalclinic.net. 206-723-3809.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Appeared when I was entangled with youth and fear, and nerves jingle, jangled, vermouth and beer were getting me mangled up.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we had a caller who's just sort of left a question, Denise in Tacoma, about how do you deal with a dog that barks aggressively when people come to the door, even when they know the person? And it's a Australian Shepherd, older Australian Shepherd. So this would be probably, knowing that breed and what I've seen typically in the past, is that they feel like it's a conflict. So the dog feels like...
They think it's a dingo at the door, maybe.
It's a conflict. They think, okay, I'm the one that has to deal with this, and they're freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this combination of aggression and anxiety at the same time. So, you know, the dog... The best thing to do, especially with a herding breed like that, is to give them something else to do. So that usually that kind of barking aggression is, you know, most aggression is actually to create space between whatever it is between, you know, that the dog is trying to create space. So the dog lunges and barks, but what they're trying to do is actually back the thing up or keep the people from coming into the house. If the dog's doing it even when they know the person, then I'd be curious to get a better sense for the dog and see if there wasn't maybe something medical going on that had it be overreactive and kind of losing its mind a little bit when it gets triggered by that. You know, the doorbell rings or something like that can be really triggering for dogs. But a really good command for when people come into the house is go to your rug or go to your bed and wait. And I've worked on this specific thing with a lot of dogs and a lot of herding breeds. So you're basically giving the dog something else to do when somebody's coming to the door. So you're engaging their brain, telling them, this is your job. I'm giving you something to do. I know that somebody's at the door, but my giving you a command basically overrides whatever's happening in the environment. So you're taking control of the situation, which is therefore establishing leadership, which is therefore relieving the dog of the job of having to be the one who deals with people coming into the house. So, and the dogs will usually test this quite a bit because, you know, if they've been doing it, especially for a long time, if they've been doing it for years, it can be challenging to rewrite the job description after, you know, so much time has passed. But for the most part, dogs actually respond pretty quickly as long as you're consistent. So, you know, training the dog to go to a rug, doing this without the doorbell distraction, you know, doing this where things are quiet, quiet in the house, and that you are present, you know, able to really be present to the training. That's so important, and it's hard for people. I think it's one of the biggest challenges for people is to just really take some time out of the day and just be present to the dog, because it is one of the most important keys to effective training is that you're able to really be present, and that your timing is right on, and that you're right there to work with the dog and always follow through with what you ask for. So practicing, go to your rug and wait on your rug, first with no distractions, then with mild distractions. And I would guess that for this dog, when, you know, people coming to the door is probably one of the most intense situations for the dog to handle. So you want to build the dog up to that level of distraction. You don't want to try to teach the dog how to go to the rug in the presence of that, you know, doorbell ringing, someone coming to the door, because it's going to be way too much for them to think about. I mean, it would be like me trying to learn Japanese on a roller coaster or something like that. Like, just, I'm way too busy. Like, I'm already overwhelmed with what I'm trying to deal with, let alone having the mind space to really focus and concentrate on learning something new. So you want to kind of treat it like a school environment. If you're learning a new subject, It's got to be quiet, comfortable, you know, as much as possible, really supporting the dog, lots of positive reinforcement for doing the job right. Lay that down first. And then once you start to introduce the distractions, just, you know, learning how to follow through with a balance of positive reinforcement and correction. And, you know, and oh, having the rug in sight of the door so that the dog can see who's coming in. And it also, therefore, is easy for you to work through it. Because if you've got the dog in the other room and you tell them to wait on the rug and then you leave and go answer the door and the dog steps off the rug, you're not going to be able to follow through with that either. So if there's an entryway, if you have the dog, the rug within vision of the door, but far enough away so that they're, you know, enough removed from the doorway so that they're not having to actually have physical contact with the person visiting. And you just establish with them that their job is to go to their rug and wait, and then you go to the door and answer the door. And as you're doing that, that you're keeping checking in with your dog. Good wait, good wait, good wait. Lots of encouragement. Because, you know, I can imagine if this dog is barking aggressively, even when they know the person, that there's a lot of anxiety around that, and it can be hard for them, like waiting on the rug, and oh, this is hard. And it's, you know, really hard for them to hold things in the presence of that kind of distraction. So lots of reinforcement. Good wait, good wait. It's going to be like, okay, I'm waiting. Yep, I'm waiting. And then if they break, you tell them no, put them back on the rug, and then no with some form of correction. Squirt bottle, or if you have them on leash, that's really helpful to work with them on leash because then you can follow through easily.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
If you were going to learn Japanese on a roller coaster, probably ugh, you want to know how to say, I think I'm going to be sick in Japanese, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but I think fortunately, screaming is screaming wherever you
right,
are. But
right, I think that translates.
But
it's
yeah,
a universal language.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, with dogs, they get triggered, kind of like we get triggered. But, you know, a lot of dogs, if they're sensitive around people coming to the door, you can just walk up to the door, ring the doorbell or knock on the door, or even knock on the kitchen counter, and the dogs will be like, oh, you know, thinking, even though they just saw you knock, it's such a trigger for them that they'll just sort of erupt in barking, even at the sound. Chewy, my mixed breed.
Of unknown origins.
We'll find out. We'll find out soon.
Mystery origins, we should say at this point.
Yeah. Formerly known as a shepherd mix. There was like a commercial, pizza delivery commercial that was on where the doorbell rang in the commercial like several times.
Uh-huh.
Ding, ding. And then it was like, ding, you know, like, and that would get him barking.
Hmm.
And it's like, no, it's the TV. There's not actually somebody at the door. Nope, didn't matter.
He was hoping for pizza, probably.
Yeah. So, you know, they're quite sensitive to that. So go slow. If your dog is not used to this, or if you've never trained your dog, or if you haven't worked with them in a while, kind of go back to the basics. Think of it as a good learning environment, how you would want if you were learning a new subject. Quiet, comfortable, and the teacher has to be very present. So make sure that you are able to be present. Try not to work with your dog if you're running late for something, or you're, you know, stressed out or anything like that, because it'll just help the dog to understand better too. Very, very important. So very good question. Hope that was helpful. If you have a question about your dog, training behavior or nutrition related, if you have a question about dog food, I love to talk about dog food as always. If you have a training question or behavior question, give us a call. We've got some time left today, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. I have a gift basket I'm giving away, and this is the last week that I'm doing this. If you send me an email, please let me know that you are out there listening. You can just write, I'm listening in the subject. That's all you have to do, and I'll enter your email into the drawing. If you have comments or questions or show suggestions, topics for future shows, I'd love to hear from you otherwise. But really all you have to do is write, I'm listening in the subject line, and you will be automatically entered in to a drawing for a gift basket. Things in the gift basket include a copy of Dogged Pursuit, a really funny, entertaining book about agility, Lost Pet Chronicles, and a signed copy of The Lost Pet Chronicles by Kat Albrecht, founder of Missing Pet Partnership, $50 in gift vouchers for wellness pet food, bags of Bitto Love training treats, a bag of Arc Naturals C-Mobility joint support jerky, and of course a Dog Talk Show car sticker. And if you want to give me your address, I'd be happy to send anybody out a Dog Talk Show car sticker for free. Email me at host@dogtalkshow.com. That's host@dogtalkshow.com, and put "I'm listening" in the subject line. Please let me know you're out there, and I will enter you into a drawing for the fabulous gift basket. And our past shows are archived on the website as well. That's www.dogtalkshow.com. If you want to catch any of the past shows over the last 6 months, Eric.
Wow. Yep. Time flies.
I know. You can check. They are all archived there. All you have to do is just press the little play button and they will automatically start playing. So that's in the podcast section on the website, www.dogtalkshow.com. So if you have a question today, give us a call, 425-373-5527. 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. We're going to take our last break, and when we come back, we will find out what breeds Chewy was revealed to be on my birthday. My shepherd mix for 12 years. Shocking, shocking results. So we'll find out when we come back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
The dogs out!
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
What's your body telling you? Join Vicki St. Clair this coming Monday and find out everything and more.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com. Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we have Sandra in Bellevue on line one with a question about her Cocker Spaniel. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. What I'm calling about, I've had this dog for about 2 years now, mm-hmm. and he's 5 years old, and I should explain his background a little bit. He was originally with a home down in the Centralia area, and then a granddaughter got him from the pound and gave him to her grandparents, who were in their 80s. Mm. And then when they reached 90, they had him only for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided that they weren't able to take care of the dog. And I think they took very good care of him. He had great vet records. So a cousin of a friend of mine found him on the internet, went down there, he and his wife, and they took the dog. And these people emailed to make sure he was doing well and all of that. And then they had him, like, 3 weeks and the wife decided it wasn't working out because of their cat.
Mm-hmm.
So then my friend took him, and I got off the airplane from Los Angeles, and she has this Cocker Spaniel because I had lost my dog about 9 months prior to that. So I have this dog, but the problem with him is, and he's come a long way,
mm-hmm.
but if he's eating human, he eats all anything leather, he eats it. I mean, he's eaten like a half a purse.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to keep these things up, but it's sometimes difficult because you do forget. The other thing, he will now be more friendly with people, but he does bite me. I mean, he's bitten me rather viciously, and it's usually over something he knows he's not supposed to have,
mm-hmm.
particularly human food. And he is really aggressive.
Mm.
I mean... As long as I've had him,
yeah.
yes, he has done this.
Okay, and you've had him for 2 years?
Yes.
Okay. Well, a couple things, and if you'd like to pursue this further, this would definitely be something that would be, you know, worthy of a private lesson where, I mean, this is a pretty intense behavior, so I can certainly give you some information right now, but if you'd like to get in touch with me off air, you can send me an email, host@dogtalkshow.com.
Now, what is it again?
Host.
Host, H-O-S-T?
Yep, @dogtalkshow.com.
Okay.
So, Cocker Spaniels, when Lady and the Tramp came out in the 50s, I think it was, 50s or 60s, the breed got very popular. Because Lady is a Cocker Spaniel in the movie, and anytime that happens to a dog breed, typically the temperament of the breed goes south. Because the breeding gets really popular and there's, you know, probably half the breeders out there who are being responsible breeders and half the breeders out there don't know what they're doing or are just interested in making money. So Cocker Spaniels are actually one of the number one biting breeds now. So it's not uncommon for Cocker Spaniels to show aggression. What kind of food do you feed them?
I get it from Mud Bay. I'm giving him, can't even think now. It's dry food.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't have it.
Okay. Well, that's okay. So you're feeding him. Feeding him a dry food. With the leather, with the eating leather, it could be that he's lacking something nutritionally. Dry food, even the good ones. I mean, even the ones where you get from a good place, you know, that sells natural foods, that kind of thing. They're still really highly processed and oftentimes still have a lot of grain in them. So he might be, his body might be really craving, you know, more meat, more real food. Like his body's not getting the nutrition that it needs. So it's making him sort of obsessive about eating meat, you know, leather or human type food.
Yeah,
so it's going to
he'll jump up. I mean, he's almost 30 pounds. He's a pretty big cocker.
Mm-hmm.
He will jump up on the counter. He gets up on my dining room table, but he'll eat a you know, like butter.
Yeah.
He'll eat anything he can get a hold of.
Okay. So, you know, there's a training, you know, you can train him not to do that. And that's something that we could, you know, work on off air. Training him not to get up on the counter. I call it counter surfing. Because he's being rewarded for it. He gets up on the counter and then he finds something tasty, and so therefore it's being reinforced. And the thing about aggression is that they learn when it's, you know, he's got something that he shouldn't have and you're trying to get it away from him and he uses aggression, they learn that it works because it does. So if he starts to growl at you and snap at you, what do? You probably pull your hand away, right? Anybody would, because you don't want to get bit. But then what happens is that he then learns that aggression works.
Yes, I can understand that.
Don't take this away. I don't want you to take this away, so I'm going to use aggression to keep what I want. And the tricky thing about this, especially he's an older dog and he's been doing this for some time, is that once they learn it works, you can't make them forget that. Mm-hmm. They can't unlearn something because it has worked in the past and it will continue to work. Now, you can certainly potentially train him to not do it to you, which would take some pretty intensive training and getting him to learn how to leave it and, you know, rewarding him when he does leave it with something really, really fabulous, but also establishing with him that he just can't do that to you and that it's not going to work anymore.
Right. The one thing, may I interject something?
Sure.
The one thing I have been doing, because for a while there, I could walk by him, not realize he had something, and he would turn on me. I mean, I could just be walking by him,
yeah,
and he would get aggressive with me. But what I've started doing is just saying, treat, 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 Mr. D, and distracting him,
yeah,
to keep from being bitten. And then when he leaves it to come to me, I tell him, is that right? Or I didn't know if I was rewarding him for being bad or...
Well, he's kind of getting something out of it. I mean, if he's got something he shouldn't have and then you go get a treat to try to get him away from it, it's sort of an indirect way of praising him for what he's doing. But mm-hmm. there's also some medical things that I'd want to tell you about, too. Plechner syndrome. I had Martha Norwalk on the show a couple weeks ago. If you didn't catch that show, you can go to the website and listen to that show as well, because there's some medical conditions that actually cause flash aggression. So I would check that out, too. But, send me an email if, I can give you some more information, or maybe we can set up a lesson and we can explore all of the different ways to go about this, because this is more of an intense behavioral issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I definitely will give you. I'm without my computer crashed. And I'm home ill, so I'm without computer right now.
Well, let me give you, I can give you my phone number.
All right, that would be great.
Do you have a pen?
Yes.
206-372-
Uh-huh.
7399. Yep.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, unfortunately, Cocker Spaniels are one of the number one biting breeds now. So it's I'm not surprised when I saw that. So Chewy, my Shepherd mix for 12 years, is in fact not a Shepherd mix at all. He is a Lab Saluki mix. Saluki is a sighthound. And I actually thought maybe he had greyhound in him.
Uh-huh.
I was like, shepherd, but I thought it might be shepherd greyhound mix. Or
is he always trying to drive a bus?
Shepherd Doberman. Yeah. But he's super, super fast. Well, when he was younger, he was like crazy fast. Like, uh-huh. I was like, oh my God. So it would make sense that that's why he's sighthound, because sighthounds are very, very fast. So my shepherd mix for 12 years, and it's interesting because I wrote an article about this, about the breed tests, and this one that we got done was from BioPet Vet Lab, which is biopetvetlab.com. Wonderful customer service. Thank you very much for that, those folks down there. But we just got this kit, and well, Darcy got this kit, and she did a cheek swab, swabbed his cheek, and then sent it away to them and got the results. So he's Lab Saluki. And I got to tell you, it was took a little time for it to sink in, because I was questioning when I wrote the article like a year ago, how would I feel if I found out Chewy wasn't even a shepherd mix? How would I feel about that? Well, it's an adjustment, I'll tell
you
that much.
As long as he's not Chex Mix, I think it's all right, right?
No. But I did say, too, that no matter what he is my handsome boy and 100% perfect, and that is still true. So, anyway, thank you for the wonderful birthday present, Darcy, and I am very happy to know what he is. So, we will be here next week with author John Katz of Soul of a Dog. Next week, 2 o'clock p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.